We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on.
Hello, everybody. This is Hockey Talkie. I am Travis. Jesse, are you still there?
I am here.
Yeah, Jesse is here. We're going to talk about some hockey today. We got the Pacific Division for everyone. Vegas, San Jose, Calgary, Vancouver, Anaheim, Arizona, Edmonton, LA. Some interesting teams in there. A couple of these teams actually could be like Stanley Cup favorites. We're thinking like Calgary, San Jose. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. Vegas. Beyond that, that'd be about it. I was just looking at this division. Only three teams had a positive goal differential.
Yikes.
And that was the three teams you mentioned. And the rest were just like all under. It was just rough.
It's not to say that there's no fantasy relevant players.
Well, of course not. I mean, any reference, any conference with Edmonton definitely has value. So, so definitely start at the top, not necessarily the best team, but alphabetically the best.
Yeah, we're going to do alphabetical. And then we also have, before we get into this, I wanted to let you guys know that we have a bonus episode coming up on Monday. That's going to be our flag players. We've been talking about this for a little bit. Guys that we think are going to do good and win you your leagues. And then I got the clips coming in from all the other analytics and podcast guys and stuff. Couple very interesting picks so far. Dadanov was one of them that I heard already. I thought that was kind of interesting.
He's been pretty good for Florida, that's for sure.
Like a couple of those guys that are under the radar, like, can be values for you. So
I agree.
That's coming up on Monday, probably Monday afternoon is when we'll get that recorded. You guys know where to hit us up at Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook and Twitter. And there's some stuff on Reddit everywhere. If you just open your phone right now and type in Hockey Talkie, you'll find us. Somewhere. Exactly. Google it.
We are everywhere. Pervasive. Another cool thing about the Monday episode is our draft will be done Sunday. So we can give you some experience about what we saw in our own draft. Players that fell, players that went early and stuff like that. And definitely let us know and you can compare to how your drafts went. I feel like most people are going to be drafting this weekend. I'd say a high percentage of all hockey pools are probably done this weekend.
They say that for NFL too. There's actually stats for NFL that the weekend before the season starts is the most drafted weekend. And it's the same thing for hockey too. I'm assuming they just don't have analytics for fantasy hockey yet.
Yeah, I'm sure the volume, the numbers are just not that high. Obviously, fantasy football is considerably more popular. But yeah, I believe that most people for sure, they're definitely doing the same thing we are doing. So you'll have to let us know how your drafts go, picks, players you saw slide.
Jesse's actually picking last in our league. How do you feel about that, Jesse?
It's not awful. I mean, double picks are always fun because you just get your two players and it's like, okay, cool. I got two players I want. Now I wait. Oh, okay. Two players again. So I don't mind it too much. We only have like 9 people this year, so it's not a huge weight, to be honest. We got last in another pool, but it's like a 12 person league. And that one's pretty excruciating because you pick twice and then you wait like 24 players and you're just like, oh man, who am I realistically expecting back round after round? And those ones are definitely hard to go through. So, I don't love going last. Preferably I like picking like fourth, third to fourth kind of thing. But whatever, we did a wheel and the wheel decided. So, I mean,
the wheel, the spin app.
Yeah. So I can't argue with the results of the wheel. So it wasn't anything I could do about that.
Yeah. Before we go to talk about Anaheim, what do you think about these bridge contracts that are happening? So a lot of players are signed with little bridge deals, 3 years, 4 years and stuff. Is this going to be the new norm? Like, this is weird, I think.
For RFAs, I guess, is the new norm? I don't really know. Like, it's RFAs, they don't want us, like, these really good young players, like, they don't want to sign long contracts because they feel like they're going to get kind of, like, messed up on the money kind of thing. Like, they want, it's, I don't know what the strategy is anymore, because, like, every guy signed like a $3.5 million or $3.7 million thing. So it's like, okay,
they just
sweet.
Want to prove it. Is that what they want?
I don't think it's prove it. I think it's just like, I want to play here, but I don't want to play for 8 year contract when I know in 3 years I could make like an extra $5 million when the cap goes up, is what I think it is. I think it's just all like that kind of like greed kind of thing. And that's like another way the owners can like get these players to stay. You'd be like, yeah, I know. Like Braden Point, I know you got 95 points or 94 points last year, and you're probably worth like $10 million a year. But here's the thing. We're not like, we'll give you $10 million a year over eight years if you want to do that. And they're like, no, well, I mean, what if like in 5 years, like everything goes up and I can make $14 million or something like that. So it's like, right. Whatever, sure. Just give me $7 million over 3 years. And then that's fine. And then after 3 years, we'll renegotiate. And all these contracts, they're backloaded, or I'm not sure the word I'm looking for say, but like they go up. So for example, like all these guys, they end up with like 9 or 10 million in their final year, which means that their offers have to start there.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, even though I got paid a $7 million annual average value, year three for like Brain Point or these guys is like 9.5, 10 million. So it's like, okay, sweet. Well, we can start the talks again at 10 million, and then maybe I'll get like 14 again or something. So,
right.
That's I don't know. It's
like
bizarre.
Line A just signed his for 2 years just now before we started the podcast.
Yeah, that is so short. That is just like Band-Aid. It's like, okay, whatever. Let's start the year kind of thing. Like enough's enough.
That one might be more of a prove it deal because he had such a poor performance last year with like what under 60 points or something.
Yeah, I think he had like 50 points and then 30 of them were goals, but he like went like 18 of them were in November.
Like, yeah, he was ice cold like for months at a time.
Abysmal. Yeah, so I'm okay with that contract for Line A for sure because like he's so streaky and not. Yeah, I don't know. He's paid what he's deserved. I think that's fine. So, it's so weird. I don't know.
I was wondering, I think, in the back of my mind, if it has something to do with like the Seattle expansion coming.
Yeah, they're supposed to bring more money to the league, which is supposed to then in turn raise the cap. So I think a lot of people are like, they want to be open for contracts like a year after Seattle has been in the league because then the cap will go. And then they'll be like, oh, okay. Now these teams have an extra, I don't know, 8 or 10 million to spend. Hey, there's a chance I could get an extra 4 out of that kind of thing. Like, I mean, it's definitely.
If they wanted to swallow like the Line A contract for $6 million, like they could potentially snag Line A and then sign him like to a big deal to be like the Seattle guy, like the number one de facto guy there.
Yeah, for sure. Like Seattle's definitely.
I was wondering if that's like something that people are thinking about.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, 10 years ago, it was all about get me to the longest contract possible. Like, you got like Ryan Suter and Parise, and they're on like these 12-year deals or whatever. And it's just like, that's what people wanted. The money didn't really matter. It was like $7 million or $8 million over 12 years. And it's just like, that's the dream. Now it's like, please don't sign me for more than 3 years unless you're going to give me like McDavid money at like 12.5 or something. So,
And how many of those contracts actually panned out? Like, maybe Kane and Taves. Crosby, Malkin, those are good ones, but Parise and Suter and, you know, back to DiPietro, those 12 years, they don't work.
Well, I mean, Taze's contract was terrible and still is. I mean, he makes 10.5. He's one of the highest players paid in the league. Granted, he finally had a career year last year. So, I mean, props to him, I guess. It's starting to pay off, but yeah, like those long ones, they were so tough. I mean, like, there's so many guys still getting paid on those like 10, 12 years deals. So it's, I don't know. It's very, very interesting what's going to happen with the cap in the future. So I'm not really sure, but that's basically my take on what's happening. And I'm sure most people's takes is just the sign short, just so you can get super bank later kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll sign for 2 years. And then when I'm a 90-point guy, then I'll sign for 5 more, making double what you paid me for the first 2, right? That's kind of the thought process there, I guess. Let's dive into it. Let's dive into the Ducks. I mean, there's not much to dive into here, but let's start at the top. You got Getzlaf, Raquel, Case on that first line. Couple of minor pieces. Comtois, the rookie from Canada. Shout out.
Yep.
Adam Henrique, Silverberg. Then you got the back end of Lindholm, Fowler, and then Gibson, obviously a great goalie behind the pipes, between the pipes, behind the pipes. is there anyone on this team that you're looking at? Like, I think Raquel could be a 30-goal guy again. I like that. And then I'm kind of fading the rest.
I like Case as a late pick. The dude has to stay healthy, though. Beyond that, that's really it. Getzlaf will be fine if you're looking for a 50-point player, if you can get him in that kind of range. If he can play 82 games, we'll definitely get some value out of him. But there's literally no one on this team I want. I will be surprised if I end up with a Duck. Gibson is the most talented goalie in the league. Unfortunately, he plays behind the worst team possible. So he's still draftable as a goalie, but I wouldn't be expecting him to crack 30 wins or something like that. This team did not get better. So keep that in mind. Even though Gibson is an absolute statistical beast, it's just not going to translate into a lot of wins. So,
did you see that no one on this team got more than 50 points last year?
Yeah, I just saw that. It was like 48 was the highest points. Like, that's disgusting. So that's just how brutal this team is. Yeah, I take a flyer on Case. I like Raquel late rounds. These guys could get 50, 60 points maybe. Getzlaf's pretty steady. The defense-wise is tough. Like,
well, Fowler, I don't want any of them.
I don't think any of these guys are worth drafting, to be honest. So, not to really just gloss over this team immediately, but there really is nothing here, to be honest. So,
I even tell people to steer away from Getzlaf. Although, you know, if you do want some rookies, like Comtois, I really like him. He's playing on the second line, probably, is what they have him at right now. Let me see. It depends where Richie plays, but they were kind of putting him with Getzlaf and Adam Henrique for a little while there. And I thought that was interesting because he had lots of potential, just hasn't really been an NHL player yet. And then from last year, no, from 2016, they drafted Sam Steele. He's a rookie centerman too, which could be coming up. He did really well last year, 41 points in 53 games for, who was it for? Someone in the AHL, anyway.
Yeah, some AHL team, yeah.
But almost a point per game guy down there. So that could be a good rookie looking at in the future. But I don't like anyone this year on this team, aside from Gibson.
I agree. Like I said, there was really good rookies. Comtois. Troy Terry is another guy I've heard a lot of hype about. But, yeah, so we know Kessler's done for the year, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I heard that he's just not playing this year at all. So I don't know if that's going to be retirement, but whatever. That opens up the second line center, basically. So that's anyone's job to look. These guys, they're all people to pick up on, like, flyers kind of thing to see if they're getting hot or not. The only guy I'm really interested, honestly, is Case. Just because he seems like a really, really talented guy. He's just been very unlucky with health. So I still won't draft him, unfortunately. It'd be very, very deep league if I was interested. But yeah, I mean, if you can get Getzlaf with one of your late picks, if you're in a positional league, then you're not drafting Getzlaf at all because
center.
There's so many centers that are worth more than Getzlaf. So don't worry about that then.
I'm gonna steer away.
Yeah, I mean, Richie gets hits in Pym, I guess. If you need something like that, that's okay.
You'll find better players somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're in a plus-minus league, I wouldn't draft any of these guys. I mean, Getzlaf was like minus 19. Raquel, minus 13.
Yeah.
So, definitely rough going. But if you're in a deep dynasty league, definitely look at guys like Comtois. Terry, Steele, stuff like that. These guys could definitely pay off later. But this team is definitely in one of those like transition phases where they're going to keep like the one super veteran guy and just try to hopefully get youth going.
Yeah. They're in full rebuild. I mean, Gibson's a younger goalie. Yeah, so they're rebuilding. Young.
Yeah. Like it's like most of those teams do. They keep some super stalwart guy, like usually an old centerman, which makes sense. I mean, Vancouver did it with the Sedins forever. Or these Thornton, guys will do it with Getzlaff.
Yeah,
Thornton's exactly. You always hold on Chara to like some piece. Yeah. And then try to get new guys and build around him. So definitely not a competitive team this year. I'll say Gibson gets the same amount of wins, honestly. I think it's going to be 26 again. And I'd say this team, like, I'll say one guy cracks 50 points this year.
Oh, I don't think anyone instead of zero.
60. I don't think 60, though. No. I think Raquel might get like 30 goals and 20 assists or something. And that might be like as good as it gets. So we'll see. But yeah, not a lot of value here.
Let's leave them. I don't want to talk about the Ducks anymore. It's depressing me.
Yeah. Not a lot there. Let's, used to be let's a go over to the West Coyotes. Team, not anymore. All right. Depression to depression.
No.
No, I think Arizona
has a lot more pieces that are fantasy relevant. Starting on that top line, you got Clayton Keller coming off a great season last year. Derek Stepan, the centerman there. Phil Kessel on the right wing now. That's a nice little line. You got Nick Schmaltz that had injury problems last year but was on fire when he came over to this team. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, a perennial defenseman that is always great, always undervalued. He's around a 50-point guy pretty much every year. And then you got an interesting goalie tandem here. Who's on your radar on this team, Jesse, and who is a no-go for you?
Well, no-go for me is definitely Antti Raanta, their main goalie.
He really?
Just can't stay healthy. He's been injured again in preseason. I just read a tweet yesterday about he has a lower body injury already. So there's tons and tons of hype about this guy, about him being just supremely talented, but he never just gets to play the games. He only had 12 starts all of last year. So, I mean, that's pretty brutal. On the flip side, Kemper was absolutely amazing. His stats were bonkers. This guy probably should have won the Vezina. I mean, with like 925 save percentage and like 5 shutouts on Arizona is disgusting.
Yeah, he got 27 wins.
Yeah. But to get to the players, I really like Keller this year. I think he's going to bounce back. I think hopefully they're going to get some power play points out of him and Kessel. So I think that's pretty good.
Yep.
I do like Schmaltz as well. Same thing. He was on fire. I'd really like to see what he could do over a full year. 14 points in 17 games is pretty good. Even if he doesn't keep up that pace, he still could probably be like a 60-point player, which is definitely value. And that's it, really, to be honest. I don't have any interest in Stefan or anyone else, really. Even Ekman-Larsson, I think there's better defensemen. He might get a couple extra points and get to like 48 points or something. Maybe hits 50, but
he could be a 50-point guy if everyone stays healthy. This team was riddled with injuries last year.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, if they could stay healthy, you get some good power plays, he could definitely do it. I'm okay with Ekman-Larsson this year. I think he should only go up with the addition of Kessel and hopefully some health and some more puck luck and everything like that.
Right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't hate that. Obviously, I guess Kessel is another guy to mention since, of course, definitely a guy you're going to be drafting. As for his points, probably mid-70s is what I'm thinking.
You know what you're getting from Kessel. He's a 75-point ceiling and a 70-point floor. Like, he's always in that range no matter what happens.
Yeah, like, obviously he reaped the rewards of the Pittsburgh power play, got like 90 points a few years, did very, very well there. This is not the Pittsburgh power play by any means, but I think he'll still be fine. 72 points, maybe, something like that. But I'm definitely interested in Keller this year. I think he definitely has a chance to hopefully get back to like 65, 70 points as well, which is a guy that you can definitely get at lower draft value because he only had 47 points last year, but he played all 82 games. So, I mean, health isn't an issue right now. So
Just had no help around him, right? He was just trying to do it all. He also took 200 shots last year, which was great if your league counts shots, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Other than those guys, like Keller, I really like just because he's kind of an all-around guy. Like, he has a little bit of PIM. He has shots, game-winning goals, stuff like that. And lots of power play time. He's kind of like, who can I compare him to? Like, someone that passes a little more than scores. Like a Backstrom. Like, he's kind of like a Nicholas Backstrom light.
Yeah, for sure. You're not going to get those high goal totals out of this guy. Even with all those shots. So, but
you're going to get
definitely
a good amount of points.
Yeah, he definitely will go up. There's no way he gets less than 50 points this year. It'd be very surprising if he, I mean, the power play alone with the addition of Kessel, it's got to be an improvement. It's got to take some pressure off this guy. So, I think it's going to be a lot better for them, but yeah, that's it for Arizona. Nothing too crazy. Nothing you're going to super reach for, draft early kind of thing. You'll definitely get all these guys at value. So it's just one every
time. They're going to fall down pretty far.
No one's taking Kessel in front of you. Like, you can wait and stuff like that. So
yeah, exactly. For the goalie situation, you said you don't want Ranta. What about Kemper then?
I mean, if Kemper's playing, he definitely plays well. But I just still don't want, I don't want any of these goalies, man. I don't know. I guess you can draft Ranta at the beginning of the year and just maybe play him till he dies kind of thing, like the usual Ranta strategy. Till he gets injured, it's like as sad as it sounds. So that's definitely something. He's going to be available.
He's just going to get like 15 wins and that's it or what?
Well, I mean, if they both, if Ranta can play like 50 games, I'm sure he'll get 30 wins for sure. And then Kemper, if he plays the rest, will get like maybe, I don't know, 10 wins there kind of thing, depending on how many games he gets to play. So,
yeah, this division isn't great. So,
yeah, they're a 500 team. So there definitely is games they can win against other teams in here, like some Anaheim free wins or et cetera. So,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. They're late goalies to draft. I don't really feel like these are guys you pick up on the waiver wires when they get hot kind of thing and you just hope for the best. But Ranta is the starter. He's currently injured. I don't know how injured he is. This is just a day to day. So you're probably still safe drafting this guy if you're looking for the starter there and then go from there kind of thing. Just don't reach anything. Kemper will be available on waiver wires all year. If you're really in a pinch and Ranta goes down, of course, pick up Kemper, and he's definitely a suitable replacement, as he's shown last year. But beyond that, that's it for the goaltending, I would say.
Yeah, that's I agree with that. Okay, before we go on to the Flames, Phil Kessel, what round are we drafting him in then?
If you're in a positional round,
he's a right wing.
Right wing? Okay. Yeah. So right wings is a little thin. But he probably still doesn't get picked before like the eighth round, to be honest. Maybe seventh round. I'm trying to think.
Let me just double check for you, because in the analytics league, we were coming really short on right wings, and Phil Kessel was the top there. So I had to pick him, and I ended up having to pick him at the sixth round.
Okay.
That's in a 12 team league.
Okay. So, was that 6 times 12?
That's 61.
70. Oh, 61 overall?
Yeah, that's where I picked him.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that makes sense.
It's just the positions, right? The right wing, you need to lock up that position as soon as you can in those positional leagues. So he is someone that is a right wing guy.
Yeah, if you're in a positional league, obviously there's value there, especially in a points league. Yeah, that's fine. It's kind of funny that Kessel's like a 60th forward, 61st forward, or not forward, but 61st overall player. That's kind of what I was saying. Yeah, like between 6 and 8, I guess makes sense. I feel like he'd go a little bit later in different leagues, but yeah, if you need a right wing, that position is pretty scarce, then you definitely got to.
That's the only reason. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you got to grab him a round or two early for sure.
All right, let's go over to the Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames are getting over 100 points this year. It's kind of a locked and loaded thing. You got Goudreau, Monahan, Lindholm, top line, which is going to be drafted in every league. Tkachuk is kind of a flyer. People really like him this year, especially in hit leagues. Defense kind of taper off from there. Sorry, forwards kind of taper off from there. And then you got Giordano, Hanifin, Brody on the back end. Weird goalie situation of Cam Talbot and Rittich. Let's just start off with the top guys. Goudreau, Monahan, Lindholm. Goudreau's 90-point guy. He's being drafted in the second round. Who else do you want on that team? Or out of that line, who do you want? Monahan, Lindholm?
Yeah, I mean, I'd take them all, to be honest. I mean, they're all fantastic. Goudreau had 99 points last year. Couldn't get an extra assist for 100. I think he's going to break 100 this year. So obviously I would love to get a piece of Goudreau. Unfortunately, his peripherals are terrible. He doesn't hit or do too much, but he still scored 36 goals, which is quite awesome for those gold leagues. So of course I'd like a piece of Goudreau. I think this is as good as it gets for Sean Monahan, is 80 points.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I wouldn't go too crazy on him expecting him to explode. Lindholm, very complimentary player. He did really well. Lots of power play points, lots of assists. I want them all. I mean, seriously, I really like Tkachuk a lot. He gets lots of points, lots of power play points. He hits a lot, takes the PIM, definitely a super multi-category guy, very value.
Mm. So who do you want, Gio Lindholm or Tkachuk?
Tkachuk for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I
think they're both Goudreau, around 80 points.
Yeah, I'd rather have Goudreau first, then Tkachuk, even before Monahan. And then Monahan, and then Lindholm fourth, if I had to pick out of the four there.
Wow.
I'm really high on Tkachuk just because he does lots of things, lots of hits, lots of just sandpaper guy. Big fan of him. I feel like a Lindholm's kind of just like, I mean, he's not like a passenger, but he's like good.
Well, that's not a bad thing to say. You can say he's a passenger.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's definitely good on that line. I mean, 27 goals is nothing to scoff at, so definitely can do it all. But, of those three, those two, I think, Monahan and Goudreau, then him. The tough thing about Tkachuk is his 5-on-5 points is not as good because he has to play with guys like Backlund and Frolik and stuff like that, so that's not that exciting. Gio had an absolutely monster season. Obviously, he won the Norris Fort, 74 points in 78 games. Career year at age 36, I believe, or something.
That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, quite old. Well, not, but, you know, quite old for hockey players anyway. So definitely possible regression there. I don't think it'll be a massive regression. I think he'll still get 60 points in that range, mid-60s. Right. But there was a lot of things going right for Gio. So,
I want to touch on this Tkachuk thing. He also plays the top power play unit with that top line.
Yeah, that's why I love Tkachuk. Is like he will get the power play points, even though he has like this less than favorable 5-on-5 assignment, and that's a huge chunk of his points come from there. So, that's why he's definitely draftable. Gio had a lot of PIM last year, which is pretty cool for him. 70 PIM to go with 74 points. He was like plus 40. So he was an absolute stud this year.
69 PIM, actually.
Yeah. So good. I think Gio should be within the top three or four picks for defensemen taken off the board this year. Gio is actually kept in our league.
He was drafted in the 14th round last year.
Yeah. So he definitely had some value out of that. Yeah, the Flames, they're going to be a great team. They're going to win a lot of games, but basically you just draft that top five, take a flyer out on Mikko Backlund if he has on a hot streak kind of thing, and the rest of the guys are undraftable. Even Lucic, sorry, it's undraftable. So.
Oh, yeah. The real question is people want to know, what are we doing with the goalies here? You got Talbot and Rittich. Rittich played really good last year when they were having goalie troubles with Mike Smith, and then they did the goalie swap Talbot for Mike Smith with Edmonton. Is Talbot getting the starts, or is Rittich, or are they 50-50? They're going to get 100 wins this year, or they're going to get 100 points this year. So that's 50 wins, right? How are these divided up between these two goalies?
I think Rittich is still the starter. But I think we're looking at a very close to a 50-50 system kind of thing, unless someone just starts playing out of their mind. I mean, Riddick was 27-9, which is very, very strong stats. Mike Smith was 23-16. He had a sub 900 save percentage, so he didn't really kill it during the regular season. So I would expect similar numbers. I think it's another 40-40 games each kind of thing. So the answer to your question is, like, I don't really want any of these guys, which is kind of weird to say about a team that's going to get 100 points.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. So if I had to pick, I'd say Riddick. But they didn't even play Riddick in the playoffs. Like, they played Mike Smith the whole five games. He played okay. You know, he did a
remember, it's not
job.
Mike Smith, though, right?
But, well, I was going to be saying, like, I mean, they didn't even trust Riddick with Smith. So, I mean, like,
right.
It's like the leash is definitely short there. So Talbot has a lot to prove after having that amazing season a couple years ago, then just getting crushed last year and then getting traded to, like, your rival, like, literally the biggest rival team you could possibly have as an Edmonton Oiler. So he's definitely going to have some serious things to prove, and he's going to have a super edge on. But is it worth drafting him for it? No.
Yeah.
It's sad because I wish they had a starter, because you could reap so many sweet fantasy points out of this very strong team, but there really is no answer. I don't draft either of these players and then wait for a clear number one maybe to emerge, or maybe it never happens and both these guys stay on the waiver wire the entire year. So
Riddich is the guy that I want out of there. In the magazine, like, I just opened the Flames page. It's so funny. It says, impossible to know which goalie is starting number one. So it's like, no one knows who's going to start. Like, magazines, we don't know. So I'm not drafting either of them unless it's right down at the very end. Then I'm going to pick up Riddich.
Yeah, I'd have to be in an incredibly deep league where I'm drafting 30 goalies. And then
30 goalies?
That'd be the only way I would be looking at drafting Riddich. It'd be tough.
Like, yeah. Way late.
It's so late. Like,
do you want Riddick or Corey Crawford?
Oh man, I'd still take Riddick, I guess. I mean, Riddick will get 25 wins, so I guess I'm like really. It sounds like I'm really like not interested in this, but I mean, this is a 50 win team. Where the 50 wins are going to come from? If it's a complete chop, a 25 win goalie is okay. It's nothing to like scoff at. So,
and you also got to remember, like, a big thing this year in fantasy is punting the goalie position, right? Like, people aren't drafting goalies. They're letting everyone else draft goalies. You're picking up your forwards, your defense early. And then way late in your draft, you're picking like the Halak and the Riddick and like guys like these guys that are going to be getting split time, or the Kosakainens and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that is like a very prominent strategy. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen this year with these like split goalies, but a lot of people are punting goalies. That's very popular.
Yeah, if you're a fan of having like one strong goalie, that's definitely a strategy that happens. Try to get one and then never draft again to the last round, or just completely abandon the position and just scoop up whatever's left is also another totally viable strategy. I did the abandoned goalie strategy last year and picked them with my last two picks. So it's definitely something that's not as crippling as it once was.
Yeah, exactly.
The amount of timeshares and stuff like that. So it's totally definitely a viable strategy.
And there is next year. I promise everyone that is listening to this podcast that there will be another Binnington next year. There will be a goalie or two or three that come out of nowhere and win people leagues. So if you're, that's what I did in the analytics league. I picked up Pecorine in like the sixth or seventh round. And then I just waited, picked up Corey Crawford. If Crawford goes down, we're just going to pick whoever rises from the ashes. Like, whoever gets a shot, we're going to pick up that rookie and they're going to carry us the rest of the way kind of thing. Carter Hart or someone like that, right? There always are those goalies that'll emerge.
Yeah, there's always someone, especially in the back half of the seasons.
Exactly.
A lot of like the less under 500 teams will start playing some guys. And someone will get hot, maybe Malcolm Subban or like any of these random types of players that will just finally get a chance to play with the team. All of a sudden, go 18-2 on a crazy hot streak, or like it could be like a, I mean, going further back, I mean, Hammond on Ottawa, like these guys, like,
yeah, to just exactly.
There's always a Cinderella goalie story every year. And,
or Kincaid when Schneider went down, right? There's always these goalies.
Yeah. So don't like go too crazy. There's always something to pick up on the waiver wire. There's always goalies to pick up. So don't hurt or don't kick yourself too much if you don't get them. But for the Flames, I would say Riddick is 1A, Talbot's 1B. They're both going to get 25 wins, give or take, plus or minus 3 on either or. So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pick. Of course, if one of them gets injured, then the other one skyrockets in value. So something to keep track of. If yeah, Talbot goes down for any period of time, or if Riddick goes down any period of time, all those starts are going to the other guy. Then all of a sudden you got a guy who started 50, 55 games and the other guy only started 20. Then now you got yourself a 30-plus win goalie and now you're laughing. So keep an eye on that. But yeah, that's really all I got to say for Flames goaltending.
Yeah, we can move on. Let's go over to the Oilers, the Battle of Alberta, where coincidentally, that's where Mike Smith went. So, you got your McDavid. He's obviously being drafted in the second overall spot behind Kucherov. You got Leon Draisaitl, which is probably the biggest riser from last year. He was drafted in the fifth or sixth round. Now he's being drafted in the first, but about the fifth or sixth pick. You got other guys supporting cast here, like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, James Neal, which might be interesting. And then a couple of defense to mention, Klefbom, Darnell Nurse had a really good year last year, kind of broke out a little bit. And then you got Mike Smith and Koskinen. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you got those guys splitting time in the crease, same thing as Calgary. Besides McDavid and Draisaitl, those are pretty much the two locked and loaded guys there. Any interest on the rest of the team? James Neal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah. Behind those two, I mean, Nuge obviously did pretty well. He played 82 games, 70 points. He arguably gets a better line mate this year with James Neal lining up with him. Yep. So I think Nuge is still fine. Center's a little deep again, so keep an eye out on that. But in a points-only league, I think he'll be around the same, probably 70 points. Maybe a little bit more, but nothing too crazy. My big question is just what they're going to do with the power play defenseman, if they are going to just give the reins to Nurse, or if they're going to integrate Klefbom more because he was injured. So that's my big question mark. If Nurse gets the full-time like power play one duties, that's a lot of points to be had. When you got guys like Connor scoring 120 points every year, there's so many of those to go. So I do like Nurse this year. I just don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what these sites say, like Daily Faceoff and stuff like that, or who they think is going to be.
So on the first unit right now in preseason, do you remember Chiasson?
Yeah.
He was playing on the number one unit before. So they got McDavid, Draisaitl. On the back end, they got Klefbom and the Nuge. So that's sneaky Ryan Nugent-Hopkins flag. Like, hey, look at me. I'm on the first unit power play. And then the other wing is James Neal, actually.
Okay. I mean, that makes more sense. Neal has a way better shot. He's a pure sniper. And I think, if he plays on that all year, he's going to bounce back. He'll get 20-plus goals. He'll get 50 points for sure. So that's super exciting, and Neil's got a lot to prove this year. Yep. So I do like a sneaky last round Neal pick. I think that's pretty good. I do believe he should be on the first unit power play just because he's a scorer and like that's literally his thing. So it's going to open up space. People can't just cover McDavid and Draisaitl the whole time. As like sad as it says, you do have to give a little respect to Neal because he will snipe these goals if you give him these opportunities. So
yeah. Yeah, he is a goal scorer. Yeah, so,
but Nurse was the top line, you said?
No, Klefbom.
Oh, Klefbom. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I know it's preseason. That's tough. That's so hard, guys. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Klefbom takes a bump up in my books. I think he's 45 points.
Yeah, if he plays on that, then he's close to 50 points if he plays there all year. That's I can't give you advice on that. I don't know which one. It's whatever guy gets that spot.
That's because they only have one line on this team. That's the line.
Yeah.
That number one power play unit, if you're not drafting them, you're not drafting anyone on this team.
No. I mean, that's it. That's like, there's like, yeah. I mean, if you're in a
hit, I thought you were just cutting out, but you just weren't saying anything.
No, I'm just like, Cassian, he plays top line. He's going to get tons of Pim, a couple points. So I like him a lot for Banger and Pim League. So obviously the value is there for him. Very specific situations. So I'm not anti him, but oh man, I don't know what to do with that defense. I mean, maybe I just don't draft any of them and just hopefully get out of that situation. But I mean, you could definitely win a league by taking Clefbaum like late, and having him become a 50-point defenseman. So
I'm gonna say Clefbaum. I'm gonna say pick up Clefbaum. Yeah, I think he's the guy there. I think Nurse is good, but he is still kind of a stay-at-home defenseman. He just got a lot of points last year due to Clefbaum's injury. So if Clefbaum's there, then Nurse isn't gonna be playing those power play and those like the sweet minutes. Like the offensive zone, I'm going to shoot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? I think Nurse is more of the defensive guy there. Clefbaum, just do it. Just say it, Jesse.
Yeah,
pull the trigger on Clefbaum.
I would have to be in like a five defense league. Like really getting down to the wire. Yeah.
All right.
Another thing, the two by own horn. Well, I don't want to move on just yet. So
okay,
to my own horn, I want to slam all the people again to be like, hey guys, Ty Ratty, he finished with 11 points, guys. Like, come on, like relax. I just want to be like, these guys that start with McDavid, keep an eye out. Like Cassian outdid this guy's job. All these guys that are supposed to get these points. Even Chase Kason, who was on the line the whole year, only got 38 points. So yes, you can play with McDavid. It doesn't really translate into tons of points. So if there is any sort of line rotation, keep an eye out on that. A lot of the rookies struggled. Yamamoto had 2 points in 17 games. Like, that is terrible after having a monster preseason. So, yeah. I mean, if we're going to touch on the goalies quick, same thing, 1A, 1B. This team is not making the playoffs. Kosakainen might get, same thing, 23 wins or something. And then Mike Smith gets the extra 20. And this team may be a barely a 400-500 team. So that's really all I was going
to
say there.
I just wanted to move on. I didn't even want to talk about the goalies.
Well, there is no real value there. But yeah, again, just leave these guys on the wire. And if one of them gets hurt or for some reason the Oilers start becoming a real team, then it could be worth picking up. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not taking Mike Smith, though. Out of those two, I'm not taking Mike Smith.
No. He's brought in to be a backup and just give some relief to Kosakainen because they realize he's not a starting goalie. So,
right, like kind of like Ryan Miller in Anaheim to Gibson.
Yeah,
like you bring in the guy to help him out,
to help them get to the point where they are, and then hopefully in 2 years Kosakainen's a starter, and you're like, okay, great, you did your job, kind of thing. Like what happened with Gibson. So. Yeah, that's the Oilers, is what it is. Draft the big guns, flip a coin between Nurse and Clefbaum, and Cassian.
No, Clefbaum. Like, you heard it here.
Hey, man, I like them both. I think Clefbaum is a great player. He's just got to...
See, Clefbaum plays the power play, but Nurse plays the 5-on-5 top unit.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, Nurse is like the bigger, you know, power-hitting... defenseman guy kind of thing, and then you got kind of an offensive minded Clefbaum, I guess. So I don't know. I'm curious to see if Clefbaum gets drafted in our league. I'm gonna say no,
I will draft him. I'll draft him. I'll save one spot.
Okay. I like it.
I'll put my money where my mouth is for sure.
I mean, you could do worse than Clefbaum, to be fair. So but yeah, let's definitely move on.
And yeah, I usually punt the last defensive position too. Like that's what we did in the analytics league. I just waited forever. And then you pick up like a Werenski or a Clefbaum or something at the very, very end. Let's go over to LA Kings because we're going to talk about this for 10 seconds and then we're going to move on. They got Kopitar, the slowest starter in the league, centering the top line. Dustin Brown had a pretty good year last year. Hits leagues, he's obviously more valuable. That second line of Kovalchuk, Carter, and Toffoli seems like they could be good on paper, but never can really put it together. The defense, you got Doughty, you're drafting late. He's not really a points guy. And then you got Jonathan Quick hung out to dry on the back end. I'm not going to draft any of these guys.
No, I can't think of anything. Kopitar is a really good late points league draft. If you think he can turn it around, draft him as a 60-point player.
Yeah.
He's only a year away from 92 points, but his cast around him is brutal. Dustin Brown, definitely banger-type player. Doughty, draftable, banger-type player. But that second line, yeah, Carter, 33 points. He played 76 games. It's not like his health was an issue. That was a big thing coming in. I was really high on Jeff Carter last year because I feel like he was finally rested and healthy, and he had Kovalchuk. I was like, this is going to be great for him. Did not translate into any success at all. Toffoli's kind of a bust player. I think he needs to get traded to a new team, and I think he'll do really well somewhere else. But as it stands, it's a pretty undraftable team. You take Doughty as a late defenseman, and that's literally it. I have nothing else to say, to be honest. Like, it's a pretty dead team.
I don't like any of them.
Even if Kopitar somehow, I just don't see him getting 70 points with this team. It just seems so bad. Like,
there's going to be a lot of 1-0 games for Quick if they are wins.
Yeah. No, there's nothing here. I can't really see anything. Goaltending-wise, Quick was pretty healthy, but he still went 16-23, which is terrible. He had an .888 save percentage. That's got to be his worst in his career, I'm sure. So, again, leave these guys on the waiver wire. Jack Campbell took a bunch of starts, so... Oh, man.
Jonathan Quick is one of those guys that you're picking if you're punting goalies. Like, you're looking at the Corey Crawfords, the...
Yeah, you're at, like, 25th pick round, yeah, or something, 17th, 18th round, 20th round. You haven't picked a goal yet. You're like, well, maybe Quick will get starts, I guess. And just stream goalies kind of thing, so...
Yeah, I don't think Kovalchuk's getting drafted anymore. Carter is kind of seen his day come and gone. The only guy I'm maybe looking at is Brown in a hits league, like in a banger league. I'm only looking at him maybe, and then Doughty in a hits league. But in a points league, I'm still not picking Doughty because he's a 40-point defenseman, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this team is terrible. miracle year would be Kopitar gets to 70 points, Doughty gets 55 points, Brown gets 60 points, and that's like a 5% chance that this happens. I feel like this locker room has got to be like super brutal. Like, I think everyone is just like looking around and, man, is everyone in this room 35? Like, why do we have 20 old people in this room? Like, can we please get a rebuild in this place? Can we trade, like, I don't know, Carter to a team that wants a fourth line center? Can we move Kovalchuk to like the Capitals or something? Like, I don't know. Just can we move these players and get anything back and try to start this? Don't get me wrong. This team was an absolute monster powerhouse. There was like, they won their cups. They did like this was a very successful franchise, and hats off to them. Unfortunately.
Well, they were a young team then, right? They had and Pearson and Johnson and all these guys, right?
Carter and his prime. Yeah, everything was great. Young, Quick. So, but yeah, as it stands now, not a lot of fantasy players here. I'm okay with taking Kopitar at the very end just because he's going to play 25 minutes a night and he's going to get every opportunity to get whatever possible offense. Like you said, Brown, same thing. He's going to play 25 minutes a night and hit a lot of people because they're not going to win a lot of games, do a bunch of stuff like that. It's kind of sad to say. I don't even know if I'll be looking at Doughty this year. I'm trying to think about I would have to be to draft Doughty. I think someone will take him before me for sure. And then, that's it. This division is pretty harsh. I mean, we said that going in that three of the eight teams were playoff teams, and we're really feeling these non-playoff teams here. Holy moly. Yeah, the leading goal scorer was 22 goals. That's
That's not great. Let's move on.
You're not going to win a lot of games.
Hey, that's like the intro. I said that in the intro. Let's move on. Let's go to the Sharks. There's some guys to talk about on the Sharks.
There we go.
They got lots of talent up and down their lineup. They could be in line for their first ever Stanley Cup. Is that a correct statement? I don't think they've won the cup. I think that is a correct statement. So you got Logan Couture up front being the centerman there. LeBlanc and Meyer are his wings. Vander Kane, great guy for hits leagues. Hurdle, which is kind of he's going to have a breakout year, maybe 80 points for Hurdle on his ceiling. I really like him a lot. On defense, obviously, you got Erik Karlsson, Brett Burns, and then in net, you got Jones. I didn't mean to sound so depressing when I said Jones, but he's a good goalie, too. So out of these guys, Jesse, who are you looking for?
I mean, Burns for sure. He's a first rounder. Take him. Should be the first defenseman off the board. Hits, shoots, plays 82 games. Absolute fantasy stud. Love the guy. I'm really happy that Pavelski's gone. I really want to see some of these young guys start crushing stuff.
Yeah.
I like everyone on this team, to be honest, man. I love Hurdle. I think Couture is going to take a little step forward, maybe get 75 points. I like Timo Meier. I like LeBlanc. I'm not a big Kane fan now that our league has taken Pym out. But if you're any league with Pym, Kane, I mean, what more do you want with the 60-point guy with 150 Pym? I mean, I'm sure he just wins weeks on, like, for you guys alone.
Yeah. And 268 shots last year.
Yeah, like, that's absolutely incredible stats. LeBlanc had 56 points. Great season. Thornton even chipped in with 51 points as, like, a third-line center. So, like, all these guys are draftable. Of course, I glossed Karlsson, 45 and 50. If he plays a full year again, he'll get 75 points, no problem. It's definitely a guy that's going to be slipping in drafts because people are going to be like, is this guy ever going to play 82 games? That is, of course, the conundrum. But if you want to roll the dice or maybe it falls to you, definitely take him. He's still an elite defenseman. I mean, he got as many points as Doughty did in like 26 less games, it looks like. So
we need him to stay healthy. Keep an eye, especially for our analytics league.
Yeah, we did pick up Karlsson in our analytics league. He fell to, he said, a crazy round, like sixth round or something.
Just no one wanted him just because of the injury risk.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that then. Do we, in the sixth round, is that a good place to draft Erik Karlsson?
Yes, I take him every time in the sixth round.
What about the fourth round?
I mean, you could make a case for taking Karlsson in the end of the second and the third round, and I'd still be like, that's a great pick. So, I can't argue with it. Like, it's hard to just assume players are going to be injured. But.
And he played 82 games for many years in Ottawa. So it's not saying that he can't do it now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even if he plays 70 games, that's 70 points. So, like, what more do you want? Like, to be honest, like, okay, the guy misses 12 games per year. The only real concern is if you get these, like, 30 games missed, then it's definitely hurting you. But if you're okay eating 12 games, then you should be drafting this guy very high. So, I think he's going to be fine. I'm sure he'll bounce back and surprise a lot of people. So, I have no problem taking him anytime after the end of the second, start of the third. And it's like voodoo as it sounds for people, but I love him. He's so good. He's the best defenseman in the entire NHL. So
he's the best offensive defenseman, I think, in the NHL for sure.
Yeah.
What he does is
unreal.
Yeah, let's break down the top line a little bit. Meyer playing on the left wing. That's a huge it's a position that has not very many people. What am I trying to say? What's the word I'm looking for?
Like scarcity is the word they say.
Scarcity.
Scarce.
Yeah, it's a scarce position. It's not many left wings. Tyler Meyer is a great pickup. What rounds are we looking at? And then LeBlanc at the same thing on the right wing. When are we looking to pick up these guys? Because it's easy to say that we'd take them, but like when would we take them?
That's a great question. positional league, definitely go higher. I'm sure you could take Timo Meier in like the fourth round, maybe fifth round. That's a 70-point left wing potentially. Yep. LeBlanc, like you can definitely wait on. Just because there might be some guys with a little bit more upside. He did get 56 points. It will be hard for him to get a lot more than that. So I think LeBlanc, you can definitely hold on and wait on those guys. So maybe like, I don't know, 120th pick or something, 130th for LeBlanc kind of thing. I'd be okay with that. But I would definitely like to see Timo taken at like round five, maybe like 50th play, 40 to 50 kind of thing. I think we'd be okay.
I like him for 70 points. Like, I think that's great.
Yeah. I think he's got to be the guy now. I mean, he's got the best center on their team. He's going to get the power play minutes. He's a scorer. I mean, 55 PIM, there's nothing to sneeze at either. So if you're in those leagues, this guy definitely has tons of value. So, I'm curious to see where he'll go in our leagues, but, I think in most leagues, you'll probably see him around the fifth round kind of thing is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's just talk quickly about Martin Jones, the one that I was so depressed to talk about. I like Martin Jones. He's fine. He's a great goalie. He's going to get 35 wins on the high side. Like, that's his ceiling, maybe. That's a great season for him with five shutouts or so. Are you kind of in agreement? That's where he's going to go. He had 36 wins last year.
Yeah, I don't think he's a great goalie.
What? You don't
I
like
think
him?
He's no, no, no. I think I don't know. I think he's a very average goalie. He had a sub 900 save percentage the entire year, but he had 36 wins. That's got to be like a record.
Yeah, he did not have a great year last year. Like, he was struggling.
So, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love the draft. 36 wins is an absolute amazing stat line for a goalie. I have no problems there. But if you're in a league that really counts save percentage and stuff like that, something to keep an eye out. Dell did get a bunch more starts early for sure. I remember you were pulling your hair out on that one, or whoever had Jones, I think.
Yeah, that was
you
me.
Had Jones, right?
Yeah, I had Jones.
Because I mean, it was like Dell every game of like the first 40 games. It felt like it was always Dell.
Yeah.
And then they finally started playing Jones at the end of the year. So I'm not too sure what the split is going to be like this year. I think Dell is going to get a little bit more, but not too much more. I still like Jones for 35 wins, and he's going to be great. The only thing is just he's really got to, like, play better.
I've never heard you be so pessimistic about a 35-win goalie in my life.
It's just the stats, man. I didn't realize they were so bad, and I was doing the research before the pod, and it's just like in the playoffs, he was sub-900, like, save percentage. He was 10-9, like pretty terrible for how good the Sharks are as a team. So I think I don't know what the Sharks are going to do. If they have another early exit or something, I think Jones might be gone. I think they're really going to make a decision here about the goaltending, because this is the only thing holding this team back. It's one I can like see.
You know what? I am going to
like,
we should make a bet on this. You think this is the end of Jones?
If he has a bad playoffs this year, for sure.
Okay.
Can't have this strong of a team and have a goalie with sub 900 save percentage. That's so bad.
I'm gonna say right now, this is the beginning of Jones.
Hey man, I like the Sharks, man. I like almost all their players. I think they're a cool team, and I would love Jones to get it together. Because all he has to do is just play a little bit better. That's it, man. Just get like a 915 save percentage, get league average, and you got 40 win goalie. Like, that's insane.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Jones is a guy that everyone is down on, including my co-host here, Jesse. I think you can pick him up very late, like as the 10th or 12th goalie off the board, maybe. And then the value he's going to return, I think this is going to be his year. The team is only getting better in front of him. Even if he has, like, he lets in some goals, some bad ones, they're still going to win the games. I think he's going to be like a 38-win goalie this year and an outside shot to win the Vezina. Like, he's going to be one of the guys. There's going to be three guys, and he'll be like four or five on the list. Like, you know, Jones could be in that category too. This is going to be his year.
I hope for your sake it is. Don't get me wrong. I will draft Martin Jones. I will, because I love wins, and I love that. That is a beautiful stat, and he plays on a very strong team. I'm just saying, like, individually, I just wish this guy would do a little bit better. If he can have any sort of caliber of Vezina season, they'll win the cup. Like, it's that's it. It's done.
I'm calling it.
This team is so strong. So, if I end up with Martin Jones on my teams, I will feel no regrets because I know I'm getting 35 plus wins no matter what. If he has takes any steps forward, that's a 40 win goalie. And then all of a sudden, like, you're looking at tier one, like Vasilevskiy tier goalie that you got in like the 10th. So,
right.
Yes, he did play bad, but he still is the number one. He still is going to get a lot of wins. So I just want to make that clear that I'm not saying do not draft this guy. I'm just saying individually, I just wish he was a little bit better because this could be the best goalie in the entire NHL if
he could return crazy value this year for sure.
Yeah, you could get 40 wins out of this guy if he just showed up a bit. I mean, that's all it is. It's like 36 wins with sub 900 percentage, only 3 shutouts. Like, it's so crazy that this guy, it's like, hey man, just try to stop some of them and we're going to score 5 goals anyway. So it doesn't matter. Like, just do your best out there kind of thing. So,
he's going to turn it around.
Dell was much better though. That's the cool thing, I guess, is that Dell was statistically worse than him. So Dell's not taking his spot yet, which is a beautiful thing for Jones owners. So, I really want Jones this year. I know I'm slamming the guy, but he's fantasy
stay in
gold.
Your lane,
I
just, Jesse, stay in your lane.
He's fantasy gold. I just wish that he was better, and I just because he could be the best goalie in the entire NHL for fantasy points. He could easily.
He could be. Yep. Like, he could be right up there with like Frederik Andersen and Holtby and stuff. I have no doubts about that.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah, I don't know.
Put it together.
What I'm trying to say is just be better. Jones, just please. This team is so strong, and I think they're better this year with Pavelski, as weird as it sounds. I think it's just get these young guys the minutes, get them going and stuff like that. So I'm very excited to watch the Sharks this year, and I'm gonna try to get as many pieces of this team as I can.
I will too. All right, let's keep going. Let's go on to the best team in the NHL. This is my Vancouver Canucks. This is obviously my favorite team. I love where the Canucks are going. I love the rebuild. I know they're not making the playoffs, but I like where they're headed. Up top, you obviously got the emergence of Pettersson, he's going to be a 90-point guy this year. He's going to be going very high on most draft boards. You got Besser, which just signed a contract, so he is playing this year. You got Horvat, second line center. You got some interesting pieces on the back end with Quinton Hughes and Edler, and then Markstrom playing a net with Demko kind of in the background. They picked up Tyler Myers this year, which is a good addition for them, and Furland. Who out of those guys do you want beside Pettersson?
I'm not saying anything until you mention the GOAT that they picked up.
JT Miller?
There we go. Okay.
There it is.
Feels bad. I actually think Miller's gonna have a great year. To be honest, I really think JT's gonna have a great year. I think he's gonna play top line power play. Definitely reap some stuff. Pettersson at the top, of course. He was injured, still won Calder Trophy.
Locked and loaded for 75 points.
I mean, yeah, he didn't have Besser for a lot of the year. So I think he's 75 points for sure. I have no problems with that. Horvat had 61 points. I think it's literally gonna be the same. I don't think his point totals are going to change at all. He doesn't get any sort of 5-on-5 with Pettersson, obviously, as another centerman. He gets the tougher minutes and wins a lot of faceoffs. So if you're in a faceoff league, that's something to look at. But that's about it. There's nothing wrong with a 60-point player. I mean, Horvat, he's going to be great. Besser, I will never own this guy just because I'm a health scare fanatic. But I think if he can just get 82 games, full 100% exposure to Pettersson, he could easily get 40 goals. I think that's no problem. So,
I think he's a 70-point guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like a 40-30 is kind of thing. 40 goals, 30 assists. I have no problem with that. I think JT Miller, like I said, is going to have a great year. I think he's going to get 60 points finally and hopefully do something. The big question marks is, of course, defense for me. Edler is another year older. He missed 27 games last year or something crazy. I'm sure they have him as the number one defenseman. I'm not
on
too sure how
play?
Yeah, or do they finally start Hughes? I'm trying to
they think start Hughes like on the top power play unit.
Okay, because eventually that's who should be there. And I don't know how long it'll take for that transition to happen, or if they run two defensemen on their power play as well. I'm not really sure what Vancouver does.
On their number one right now, they put JT Miller centering Pettersson and Besser, which is kind of insane that JT Miller should be getting points there, like you said. And then they got Barchi and Hughes on the back end.
Barchi, Hughes. Interesting.
The second line, they got Tanner Pearson, Horvat, Eriksson, Myers, and Edler.
Okay. Then that's a great top unit. Then Hughes is definitely a steal, for sure. Definitely keep a guy eye on that. I don't think he's going to set the world on fire or anything like that, but he could get 40, 50 points. He had 3 points in 5 games last year. Small sample size, of course, but he's a supremely talented guy. There's no competition on this team beside Edler, and Edler can't stay healthy. So it's going to be his role for sure. That's a pretty deadly first unit. I like that.
If JT Miller could siphon some points from Pettersson and Besser there, that might be really good.
I really, really like JT this year because they're going to have to use him, and they will. And if he can make some space for these guys, maybe he's not going to be the finisher all the time, but if he's that guy who's in front of the net or something like that, there's definitely points to be had there.
Okay, remember
Barchi, I would give up on.
Barchi, I'm not going to take.
Unit, but yeah, relax on that. He only played 26 games last year. He's been a perennial health risk, so don't get too excited there.
I have a question for you, Jesse.
Sure.
So last year, JT Miller was playing with Kucherov and Stamkos, and I was all in. I said, JT Miller, this is his year. I said, this is a great unit. He's going to get tons of points. And what happened?
Well, the problem is they didn't need him.
So you're telling me that JT Miller with the Vancouver Canucks, with a substantially less skilled line, will be better this year? 100%. Are you the one that's going to be all in on JT Miller and then I'm going to laugh at you midway through the season?
I will not own JT Miller, but I will go on record saying that JT Miller will have a better year in Vancouver than he did in Tampa. He was so expendable in Tampa. He was a non-threat.
Yes.
It didn't matter. There's four people who can score on that power play: Point, Kucherov, Stamkos, or Hedman. Like any player could have been put in that spot and you could succeed. All they needed him to do was like win a face-off. And if he wasn't doing that, they cut him.
So, exactly.
And it was so easy to be like the embarrassment of riches on that team. Like, okay, JT, well, I mean, you're a third line center now. Sorry, dude. Enjoy your, 17 minutes a night playing against the hardest lines kind of thing, because we don't
17
really...
17 minutes is probably generous.
Yeah, I mean, that's generous. It could be 13, probably, to be honest.
I was thinking, 12.
Yeah. But on the Canucks, all right. This guy is actually kind of needed. So I think he's going to do great things. He's more offensively there than Horvat enough. So he can win those faceoffs, do some stuff there. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's going to go crazy, but I think he'll get 60 points for sure. And I think that's a pretty good return. So I like him a lot better on teams like this, where you can just be like, go play your hockey kind of thing.
Right.
Need you to play and be good. Whereas in like Tampa, it's like, okay, you're surrounded by four guys who are exponentially better than you, and we expect nothing from you. So, we have no expectations for you, JT. Like, just go out there, play some hockey, hope for this. And then Vancouver's like, no, we signed you. We gave up a first round pick. Like, I mean, we want you here to perform. So you better perform kind of thing. And I think that's like, really hope that that's what they're going to get out of him. So I'm a big fan, JT. I think this is finally his year. He gets their career year, hits the 60, 65 points kind of thing, if he can stay healthy.
And I also wanted to bring this up. Right now, they got the first line is Tanner Pearson, Horvat, and JT Miller. So that's still going to be a pretty solid line.
That's still fine, yeah.
The second line of Furland, Pettersson, and Besser. So Furland is also that addition this year that could be getting some points with Pettersson and Brock Besser.
Yeah, Furland is like their Cassian, right? I mean, but better than Cassian. He's like the McDavid Draisaitl thing. So I still think he's undraftable without power play time. But Furland is definitely going to be pretty good addition to that line. I think he's going to have a pretty good season, but I wouldn't say he breaks 40 points or anything like that, just without that. power play deployment. There's no way. I think Pedersen will get a lot of 5-on-5 points, but it's unlikely that he's like saucing it to Furland when he could probably be saucing it to Horvat more likely. So,
right, exactly.
But it depends what they use him. They could use him as like a puck retrieval kind of guy, like a Zach Hyman, what they do in Toronto kind of thing. He could be that guy just bangs out and dishes stuff out. So he's going to have some value, but I would be surprised if he gets more than 50 points. I'm going to say like 42 is what my guess is for Furlan if he plays all 82. So I wouldn't get too excited about him, but
yeah, he's not super high on my list either. Markstrom had a great year last year. He played admirably in front of the team that wasn't very great. He had 28 wins. I think he's going to be 25 wins this year. You're going to pick him up late in your draft. Don't hope for him to set the world on fire or anything, but he still played really good. Like a good save percentage, goals against average was okay. Second goalie, I like it.
Yeah. Markstrom, if he was on the Sharks.
Yeah.
38 wins. 38.
There you
go. 912 save percentage on the Canucks. Like, are you kidding me? This guy was also cursed. He had 9 overtime losses.
Yeah.
9 overtime losses. Yeah, if you turn that into like half and you get 5, that's 4 extra wins. That's 33 win goalie. That's incredible value on a team that you shouldn't be looking at the goalie. Markstrom is like one of the sneakiest, sweetest picks you can ever make. I think this team got better this year. So I would love to have Markstrom as my second goalie. And I might even just end up with him because he ain't going anywhere. The game's 60 starts, which is so delicious. Yeah. They know that this team isn't quite a playoff team. So they're okay with just running Markstrom into the ground to see what they got. And I'm a huge fan. So
does Demko worry you at all on the back end, though?
No, not enough yet. I don't think so.
I don't think this is his year, but Demko will be coming up in maybe next
year. I think he'll get 20 starts, maybe 18, 20 starts. There's no real backup here. But I Markstrom is still going to play like 20 games in a row kind of thing. It's going to be a lot of Markstrom. So
yeah, Demko will just play those back-to-backs.
Yeah, he'll chip away at some stuff. But I mean, you can't argue with a goalie that was like 28 and 23 with cursed overtime, 912 save percentage on Vancouver last year, which was like, they didn't have like any of these players that we're talking about, like no Furlands, no JT Millers. They had a rookie year of injured Pedersen. Boser didn't play anything.
Tyler
Edler
Myers
missed 29
here.
Games. Myers wasn't there. Like, this team got a lot better. If they get a full year, Quinn Hughes, I mean, come on. And you hear us slamming this division because it's so bad. That's a lot of free wins, like, in this division. So,
they could be a fringe wild card.
They could be a fringe wild card. I think they're going to be very close. Let's see. There were...
Oh, don't get my hopes up, Jesse.
There were 9 points out of a playoff spot. So if they won half of those overtime games, that's an extra, say, 5 points. That puts them as 86, which would be just shy of 4 points missing the playoffs.
They're fringe. It could be fringe this year.
If they can just put it together and get 40 wins, I mean,
look at this division too, right?
Colorado was, yeah, it's, yeah, man, I don't know.
Like, they're going to be playing LA and stuff quite a bit. So, I mean, they have lots of opportunity, but I don't want to get my hopes up. I think they're still out of the playoffs.
I think it's close, but this team is going in the right direction. And this is a goalie on a team I would draft. Absolutely. So I think Markstrom is going to win a lot of people, a lot of leagues this year. And, not to tip my own drafting strategy, but he was the guy I was looking at. And so it's definitely something to keep an eye out because I like the Canucks a lot. I think they're going to play a lot of stress-free, fun hockey. I think the fan base knows what to expect. They're not going to be a lot of pressure on these guys. And Pedersen on a second line is great. I mean, Horvat, go out there, you know, stifle some lines. Pedersen gets to play against the second units. It's all the power play time. It's going to be great. I think it's a good time to be a Vancouver fan, I think, finally.
Yeah, it really is. And in our analytics league, there was in my queue for my second goalie, I wanted Schneider, Markstrom, and then Crawford was my third. And unfortunately, both Markstrom and Schneider went like right in the round before me. I was pretty upset.
Yeah, exactly.
But that would have been so juicy to have Markstrom there. I would have loved that. All right, let's move on to the last team in the division, probably the best team in the division, maybe. The Golden Knights, Vegas. They got a great team this year. They got Marchessault, William Karlsson, Riley Smith on that first line. Pacioretty, Stastny, and Stone on the second. Some interesting defense. Theodore Schmidt kind of in there. And then Marc-Andre Fleury, which was great last year. This is kind of a, I would say, trap card. But it's always, this is kind of a trap for me. I don't know who I want because you don't know who's going to show up on any given night for this team.
Yeah, outside of Stone, I don't know what to do with this team. Marchessault is an absolute fantastic player, but now that William Karlsson fell back to earth and got 56 points instead of like 43 goals he had that one year,
right?
I think this is where we're going to sort of see him, is like near that 60-point range.
So no one cracked 60 points last year, but there were so many so close. Like they have a lot of crazy deep rosters.
Yeah. This year, it'll be different. Stone will definitely leave the team in points. I'm pretty sure Stone will get 75, 80 points. He's that disgusting of a player. The good news for people is I think Pacioretty is going to be a guy that people should be drafting.
What?
I think Stone is going to drag Pacioretty to some serious success. And I think it's going to open up a lot of stuff. I really think that Stastny, Stone, Pacioretty line is going to be a really, really strong line this year. I think there's going to be a lot of points to be had there.
Actually, you
know
that
might be kind of bizarre to say, but I have a lot of faith in that line. I don't know where I'm going to draft these players. I really want Stone, of course. Stastny's the guy you can always get late. I mean, he had 42 points in 50 games playing with like those guys. If prorate that, if he can play, obviously, a full season, that's like 70, 75 points, which is super exciting. Pacioretty had like an awful year, but I don't know. I think these guys are going to do a lot well if they can stay healthy. So I like the second line more than I like the first line, which is kind of funny.
Yeah,
so I actually don't want any part of the first line.
So whenever I do these podcasts, I always put like a couple magazines open in front of me. Like I got the Hockey News and the one, which one is this one? This one's a Pooler's Guide. The Pooler's Guide actually says Pacioretty, Stastny, and Stone. Well, they have Stone for 80 points, but Pacioretty and Stastny both with 60. So, like, that line, they're saying, is going to be way better than the first line. Even William Karlsson, they have him at 56. Marchessault at 57. So there is, that second line has some value. And that's what people are saying from magazines. So I like it. I like that a lot. I didn't think of Pacioretty until you said it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was watching in the playoffs. I mean, they're the line with the most points. So I was like, there's a lot of chemistry here. Stone had 12 and 7. Pacioretty had 11 and 7. Stastny had 8 and 7. So they crushed. The top line all had like 5 or 6 points in the 7-game series. I know playoffs don't really matter, but it is an indication these guys are playing hard hockey. So I really like these guys to bounce back. I think Pacioretty's a guy you can get with your last pick and just backdoor into like a 65-point player and just be like, oh, interesting. Forgot this guy existed. So,
And Mark Stone having the full year there, right, will be much better, right? Just a little more used to the system, a little more acquainted with the guys. You kind of build a little more chemistry over the time you're with them. So, that's interesting.
Yeah, and just don't be like confused that, yes, he is on the second line, but he is the franchise player there. He's paid the most. He's far and away the most talented player on that team. He's going to get all the power play minutes. The offense is going to run through this guy. So, just don't be like, oh, no, he doesn't play with Marchessault. He doesn't play with these guys. He's not on the first line. It doesn't matter. Like, this guy is it. He's the real deal. He's going to get 80 points. Like, it's going to be absolutely disgusting. So,
And
I'm super excited to see what they can do this year.
If you're looking at a positional league too, I'm just looking at Daily Faceoff, and they have Mark Stone as the third right wing in the league.
Yeah, I wouldn't even argue with that.
Like, so, he's definitely worth a lot. They have him on the second unit power play right now, but don't be surprised if he jumps back up to that number one. I think they will. He's the only 80-point guy on this team, but I love him there. What about the defense? What do you think about, like, Nate Schmidt or Shea Theodore?
Theodore plays the number one power play. Yeah, I think Theodore is going to be 50-point guy for sure. I think his team with Stone, that's enough points to go around. It's going to help a lot of people. I'm very surprised. I guess preseason, they don't really have the units set out, but there's no reason to not have Stone on the top unit. He'll definitely be utilized more as the season goes for sure. So, yeah, I don't think I want anyone else, though, besides Theodore. Colin Miller got traded. Nate Schmidt is, like, okay, but not really draftable, I would say.
He's not quite there yet. He's still pretty good.
Yeah, and this, there's not, yeah, no, for sure. I would just say Theodore, if you can get him late, yeah, he can definitely reward you there. He's going to get a lot of points, definitely skill guy there, and he gets to play with all the fun guys. So I like it. I like him.
And then obviously Marc-Andre Fleury, everyone wants a piece of this guy now. He doesn't need the Pittsburgh Penguins in front of him. He's still going to get 35 wins. I think he's great. He's really showcasing how strong of a player he is because he's not on a powerhouse. Well, this still is a powerhouse team, but he's not on the perennial Pittsburgh Penguins that were always the cup favorites. He's kind of doing a lot more by himself. He gets a lot more shots when he's playing for Vegas. 8 shutouts last year. Sign me up.
Yeah, led the league in shutouts, I'm sure. 35 and you know what? Wins.
The good thing about Fleury? Good thing about Fleury is you don't have to pay up like a Vasilevskiy or a Frederick Anderson or a Hopi. Like you can wait for Fleury.
No, that's why like the value on this guy is like sky's the limit. He could easily get 40 wins next year. Like why not? Malcolm Subban, they gave him 20 games, he went 8-10, which is okay, you know, he's still a young guy, but that means he's still not there to supplant Fleury at any time. So again, no stress there. Fleury's still going to get 60 starts. No injuries, nothing like that. He had a great year. You can't argue with Fleury, man. Again, the goalie that I'd love to be targeting because why not? He's going to get all the starts. He's behind a monster team. 913 save percentage again. If Fleury was on the Sharks, he'd have 45 wins. And he'd be the best goalie in the NHL. But what can you do? Just slamming on Jones again, sorry. But nonetheless, yeah, of course, Fleury's the guy to draft.
And then you got Malcolm Subban behind him, which isn't going to supplant him or anything like that. So
yeah,
like he's as safe as safe can be.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're like, man, I need a goalie and it's the second, third round, Bobrovsky, all these guys are gone. Like, what do? Just take Fleury. I know it's like not cool or exciting, but it's the safest pick you can make for 35 plus wins. So big fan of this guy.
Yeah, I really like Fleury a lot this year. I was kind of worried when he was in Vegas. I was like, is he really going to be this goalie that he was in Pittsburgh? But he proved everyone wrong or right if you believed in him. And he just did so great. That's it. That's all the divisions, Jesse. We made it through.
Thank goodness we did it.
My throat is getting a little raspy.
Yeah, I'm rasped out from just chirping these teams. Holy moly.
How about we stop this one? You rest your voice because in 3 days, we got our flag player episode. We're going to pick those guys that we think are going to win you your leagues, and we're going to be doing that episode. So rest up.
That's true. I got 3 days to go. It'd be nice and rested. We have our draft recap as well. It's definitely going to be a fun weekend. I have 2 drafts. I have 1 tonight, which is just a points-only draft. So these are really straightforward, no positions. It's just going to be like a no-brainer kind of thing. You just pick the coolest, highest point guys and hope you win. So that's super easy. Then, of course, we have our draft on Sunday, which is a salary cap with our different categories, of course. So that's going to definitely be an experience. I've never done a salary cap.
We haven't done that one yet.
So I don't know what quite the my strategy is going to be. I've looked at a lot of salary cap rankings and it's quite funny. It's just like, I don't know what the play is. I don't know if you're not supposed to draft guys like Mark Stone because they get paid like $9 million. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
I don't know either. I think I'm just going to draft best players available and then worry about the cap later. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be very, very interesting. I'm curious to see like some just crazy contract players just get picked up right away. Just be like, oh, it's round 2. Who gets paid the absolute cheapest that I can grab kind of thing. So it's going to be interesting. I'm very excited.
We'll update you guys on that after probably on Monday's episode. And just checking Twitter right now, we broke the 700. We're at 723 now. So you guys killed it. We only needed, what, three more last episode, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
It was something like really small, but now we're up to 723. So 25 extra followers in the last 6 days or so since we did that last episode. You guys are awesome. Thanks for the support, and all the questions are rolling in on Facebook and Twitter. I'm trying to answer them as fast as I can. And we got lots of drafts going on right now. The analytics draft is still being drafted. It's a slow draft. So everyone has 4 hours to make their pick. So some people take really long because they're at work, and some people are sitting by their computer at work, so they just draft right away. We'll let you know that roster as soon as it's done. I'll post it on Twitter, at Fantasy NHL Talk. You know where we're at. Anything else before we leave, Jesse?
Nope, that's pretty much it. That's all I got. Good luck in your drafts this weekend, guys. And hopefully we hear from you guys.
Hockey is just around the corner.
And yeah, there's just, I don't even know what RFAs are left. Just Connor? Is that it? Is that the big guy?
Connor and Ratnan.
Rantanen. Yeah, Rantanen. What's going on there? Okay.
But he is coming back on the plane with Laine from Switzerland, okay, or wherever they were.
I mean,
so he should be the next beast of it.
Yeah, he's got to be. And I don't know what the cap space of Winnipeg is left, but I'm sure it's enough, hopefully, to get Connor signed here.
Billions of dollars. They have so much cap space.
I mean, yeah, if Bufflin retires, then, of course, there's so much cap space. But that's good. I'm glad that the RFA dominoes are finally falling, so that's good to know. Still, you know, draft Rantanen, guys. He'll play, I promise. So.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will drop another episode on Monday. We'll talk to you then.